afternoon, if you can possibly stay tuned, we're going to be exploring the work of the Moda Circle. I think that's how you say it. If you look too quickly at it, it looks dangerously like Murder Circle, but it's Dutch. And far from killing things, the Moda Kring was dedicated to the development of the arts and sciences in Holland in the 17th century. In fact, its members became very much the architects of that great Dutch Golden Age. Well, you can hear how they managed to create it in the early music show in just a moment. First, though, with the time at 1 o'clock, it's time for a summary of the BBC News this lunchtime. It's read by David Cornett.
The chairman of the BBC Trust, Lord Paton, has called for a radical overhaul of BBC management following the resignation of the Director General. George Entwistle resigned last night. He said he'd had to take responsibility for a Newsnight programme which wrongly implicated an unnamed former senior Conservative in a child abuse scandal. Lord Paton, who represents licence fee payers, said he expected a very different BBC to emerge from the crisis. In a statement this lunchtime, Downing Street said that although the Prime Minister believed the situation at the BBC was very serious, the corporation had been through crises before and survived. Detectives investigating allegations of sexual abuse against Jimmy Savile and others have arrested a man in his 70s in Cambridge. It's the third arrest as part of Operation Yew Tree. Ceremonies marking Remembrance Sunday have been held across the UK and in other Commonwealth countries. The Queen led the tributes to the fallen, laying a wreath at the cenotaph in Whitehall. British soldiers in southern Afghanistan also held a service. Israel says its troops have fired a missile into Syria after a mortar shell hit a border post in the Golan Heights. The Israeli military said the missile had been a warning shot after the latest in a series of stray mortar shells to have come from Syria since the conflict began there more than a year and a half ago. The incident comes as Syrian opposition groups meeting in Qatar have signed an initial deal to form a coalition against President Bashar al-Assad. British troops could be deployed in Syria in the event of a major humanitarian crisis. The Chief of the Defence Staff, General Sir David Richards, said contingency plans were being drawn up in case the onset of winter led to worsening conditions on the ground. The Greek Parliament is preparing to vote later today on next year's budget. It must be passed if the country is to receive the next instalment of bailout funds. And the weather, it'll be mainly dry and bright this afternoon with plenty of sunshine. Isolated showers in northern Scotland will gradually clear. Overnight, it'll be clear and chilly for most at first, but rain will reach western areas by dawn. BBC News and weather at 3 minutes past one.
David, thank you very much. Well, then, an hour from now, two composers who would have been somewhat shocked to be sharing the same platform in their own day, Brahms and Wagner, separated by music by Zemlinsky. The BBC National Orchestra of Wales provides our Sunday concert this afternoon. You can hear the prelude to Act One of Wagner's Lohengrin and Brahms's Violin Concerto, followed by Zemlinsky's Lyric Symphony. That's a concert from St David's Hall in Cardiff at 2 o'clock this afternoon. But now it's time to journey into times past with the Early Music Show. Here's Catherine Bott.
Hello. In today's programme, I'm going to be investigating the Moda Kring, a mysterious cultural group from the Dutch Golden Age. What and when was this Golden Age? Well, it's usually described as spanning the 17th century and being the time when Dutch trade, science and art was among the most important in the world. These dates are never quite as neat as one might suppose, of course, so the origins of all this prosperity and creativity lie in 1585 with the fall of Antwerp and the end of the 80 Years' War. Antwerp was the last major trading city to be taken by Philip of Spain's troops, who had already conquered Bruges and Ghent. And the rich businessmen of all three cities gathered up their things and left as soon as they could, many settling in the little Dutch port of Amsterdam, hoping to create a new Antwerp. And Amsterdam grew and grew as the economic migrants from present-day Belgium were joined by religious refugees, Sephardic Jews from Portugal and Spain, and Huguenots from France. Quite a melting pot, and a subject for another day. So, who or what was or were the Moda Kring?
Thank you.
Sonata No. 10 from Armonia Parnassia by Cornelius, or Karel Akkar, played by the Residencia Orchestra of The Hague, directed by Ton Koopman. Akkar came along a little too late to join the Moderkring in its first flush, but he's just one of many good musicians who moved to Amsterdam because of its musical life and the wealth, the only word, of rich patrons. The Moderkring, or Moder Circle, was a group of contributors to the arts and sciences in this Dutch golden age. Chief among them was the historian, poet and playwright Pieter Cornelisz Hooft, born in 1581. If you know Amsterdam well, you've probably strolled down the city's ritziest shopping street, Pese Hooftstraat, near the Rijksmuseum. Hooft was appointed as sheriff and bailiff for the Gooiland, the area around Hilversum, in 1609, and was given a medieval moated castle to live in, the Moderslot. Over the next four decades, he spent his summers there, entertaining house parties of distinguished friends from the worlds of art, music and philosophy. They discussed current affairs, read their poetry to each other, debated philosophical and moral issues, and, of course, made music.
Rosamund, hoor die spelen nog zingen. Rosamund, hoor die spelen nog zingen. Ziet den dageraad opkomen dringen. Ziet den dageraad opkomen dringen. Dartele duiven en zwanen en mussen zouden de vaak uit uw ogen wel kussen. Zoot u lustte de doden te ruimen, om de lust van de levende pluimen. Zoot u lustte de doden te ruimen, om de lust van de levende pluimen. Alle weiden en duinen en dalen, alle weiden en duinen en dalen. Verheugen ophalen, haren aan met verheugen ophalen. Het jeugdelijk jaar met zijn vrolijke tijen is rechte voort op zijn kwikste te vrijen. Kruien, bomen en bloemen veroveren en apronken met levende loveren. Kruien, bomen en bloemen veroveren en apronken met levende loven. Tweelig vee op de grazige zoden, tweelig vee op de grazige zoden. Omen in onze bruiloften noden, omen in onze bruiloften noden.
Al haar gezicht, haar gebaren, haar spreken, lopen op de lest van de minderke treken. Hop, 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 hier de zon in de dauw schijnt, laat ons alle gedierte te gauw zijn. Hop, 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 hier de zon in de dauw schijnt, laat ons alle gedierte te gauw zijn. Schoon prinsen,
pieces based on popular tunes with words by Pesse Hooft, performed by Camerata Traiectina. So who were Hooft's summer guests at Castle Moda? Well, he concentrated on the cultural elite and seems to have had impeccable taste. There were poets, Caspar Barlus, and Hooft's great friend, Joost van den Vondel, who is commemorated in the Vondel Park at the end of Pesse Hooftstraat. The wealthy merchant and poet, Peter Romers Fischer, and most notably, Constantijn Huygens, a true Renaissance man if ever there was. Born in The Hague in 1596, Huygens was a poet, diplomat, musician and scientist, but throughout a distinguished career he liked to think of himself as a musician first and foremost. He'd learnt to read music by the age of five and was a skilled player of the viol, harpsichord, organ and his favourite, the lute. All formal music tuition stopped for him at the tender age of nine. He was, after all, being educated at the highest level in the sciences, literature and languages, So he developed his love of music on his own, and for the rest of his life gave all his spare time to composition, playing and poetry. Not that he can have had much spare time. He was appointed secretary to two princes of the House of Orange and gave the royal family 60 years of loyal service. His musical horizons were broadened by his diplomatic travels. It's possible that he met Monteverdi in Venice, and over several visits to England he played the lute for King James I, who knighted him in 1622, and met Copperario and other English musicians. Among his friends were the philosopher Descartes and the composer Froberger. Huygens must have been a most desirable guest at Castle Moder. He brought with him an unrivalled knowledge of what was going on in the wider musical world, and always, one imagines, a new work or two for consideration by the Moderkring. He wrote nearly 900 chamber pieces for various instruments and voice. His collection of songs and psalms, Patodia, shows a strong Italian influence, and most of the texts are by Huygens himself. Here are two of them, Morte Dolce, Sweet Death, and Erravi Domine, Lord, I Have Sinned, sung by the soprano Julia Gooding.
Thank you.
two songs by Constantine Huygens, performed by Julia Gooding and Christopher Wilson. When Huygens died at the age of 90, he was given a state funeral, and he willed his music manuscripts to his son, Christian, himself a distinguished and pioneering scientist, urging him to preserve them carefully. But alas, Christian seems to have been rather careless with them, and much of Huygens' music has vanished. The Moderkring had a number of members who were professional musicians, among them the organist of the Oude Kerk in Amsterdam, Dirk Svelink, son of the Amsterdam composer and organist Jan Pieterszoon Svelink, and his friends Juan Albert Ban and the organist Cornelis Helmbricker. Very little of Dirk's music survives, but it's unlikely that his father, who preceded him at the Oude Kerk, didn't know P.C. Hooft. Here's a piece by Svelink Sr., Variations on Mein junges Leben hat ein End, played on the small organ of the Oude Kerk by Matteo Imbruno.
Thank you.
Music by Sweelinck, played on the small organ of the church where he and his son worked, the Oude Kerk in Amsterdam. One of the most remarkable things about the Moderkring was the acceptance of two women as legitimate contributors to the cultural forum. The muses of the group were the Fischer sisters, poet and flautist Anna Römer Fischer and Maria Tesselschade Fischer, whose good looks seemed to have been an inspiration to all. Her singing was much admired too, and she was an accomplished player of the viol, lute and harpsichord. She too has a street named after her in Amsterdam, and when she was widowed, young, Huygens proposed to her, but she turned him and other suitors down. Maria's middle name, abbreviated in the family to Tesseltje, was given to her by her father, who'd lost a ship's freight in a heavy storm near the Isle of Texel 3 months before her birth. We'll hear a piece in which she certainly had a hand, and before it, a classic recorder piece to evoke the Golden Age, from Van Eyck's collection Der Flöten Lusthof, The Flute's Garden of Delights.
Godinne die de naam van schipprijk eiland voert, die met geen toverkracht hemel en aard beroert, maar die met uw gezicht en goddelijke kunst de grootste man beweegt, doet snakken naar uw gunst. De grootheid van uw macht ik nooit zo hoog en hier. Als ik de hoogheid doe van uw verheven ziel, die op de top des lofs, den pronk des werelds staat, zulks dat de zon beschaamt zijn ogen nederslaat. Voor dag en in de dageraad, wanneer hij opgetooid uit zijn slaapkamer gaat. Als gij nog legt en slaapt met al uw huisgezin, dan komt den brallert aan door glazen vensters in. Hij kijkt, hij wederkijkt en ziet uw schoonheid door. Zilverblanke vel verguldt hij met zijn gloor. Gij voelt de luwte van zijn stralen zoet en zacht, en toont hem al het gunt hij meest op aarden. Behaagd, dan gaat en snoepert deur, hij schendt zo menig maagd. Maar dat die vrouweman maar stilwijs eens insluit, hij vindt geen vrouwtje die hij niet heeft. slaap bekruipt. Blest de reisgodin als hij u wel bezag, doen gij in diepe rust en onbekommerd lag. Toen stal hij uit uw hoofd op het aardigst dat hij kon uw ogen, en hij liet voor elke oog een zon. Zo kom het bij Godin dat ik hen alle lien, die deze majesteit vol heerlijkheden zien. Door het blinken van uw snel en wezenlijk gezicht, waarmee dat gij mijn ziel inwendig nog verlicht. Dit is mijn hoogste vreugd, daar ik mij in verblijf. Dat gij uw oogje slaat uit goedheid eens op mij, als uw genade mij eens vriendelijk aanziet. Ik ruilde dat geluk om al de wereld niet. Ik ruilde dat geluk om al de wereld niet. De vleiende sireen, wiens zank en vedelsnaar verlokten naar beneden den vieren adelaar, die met zijn wieken heen, daar zank zijn hart bekneep, tot hij verslingerd ving het keeltje dat hem greep. Dees op den oever stond, daar Glaucus heet van min, kust en herkust den mond der blanke stroomgodin, die in zijn armen glijdt en zijgt van lieverlee, en voegt haar bruidschat bij het rijk huwelijksgoed der zee. Van zang zie ik op dat pas had Daphnis laten noem, en om te luisteren was hier Titier met omboon. Zij hurkte neer in het groen, daar van hun hogen wal het oog mocht ronde doen en weien over. Sloeg haar keel geluid, help God wat zoeter zang. Zwijgt niet eerst boerenfluit, wat was hier een gedrang van oren om dit lied te vangen in de lucht. Toen tot haar neigde riet, gebonden vogel vlucht.
Gaat den hemel toe. drijft in schuim. Och, of gij het land verkoost, gij schudt helmet en pluim, en slaat mijn bieden af. Wel aan, ik neem geduld, gij kiest dan het levend graf, en ik blijf zonder schuld. Dan denk eens hoe het mij kruist, als gij den Spanjaard taart, met slagswaard in de vuist, en Duits wordt vuldig hart. Van Huls hier in die raad, altijd het beste na, mits ik uw schimmerig haat, niet naar uw leven sta. Mits ik uw schimmerig haat, niet naar uw
Camerata Traiectina, performing music by Bredero and Fondel, that was written for the principal female muse of the Modekring, Maria Tesselschade Roemers Fischer. And before that, Marion Verbruggen played variations by Jacob van Eyck. How do we know about the Modekring today? Well, through a number of prints showing scenes from the castle and paintings by artists like Kruseman and Isings. I don't need to remind you that this was a golden age for art as well, the age of Vermeer and Rembrandt. Pese Hooft's artistic circle was not the only group to produce fine music in 17th century Holland. Here's a piece by a composer and organist from the university town of Leiden, Cornelius Schout.
Thank you.
Ton Koopman, directing the Residencia Orchestra of The Hague in part of the 12 Pavans and Galliards by Chaut, published in 1611. Castle Moder is today a very popular tourist destination and is often used for chamber concerts. I've sung there a couple of times myself, and it is an evocative and romantic venue. Perishingly cold in winter, I seem to remember, with canny Dutch audiences turning up very well swaddled in duvet coats, furry boots and gloves. Not possible for instrumentalists, alas. To end today's programme celebrating the Moderkring, let's return to the beautiful Maria Tesseltje Roemers Fischer. She seems to have enjoyed a close friendship with Hooft, and their correspondence is celebrated as one of the finest in Dutch literature. The list of her admirers reads like a directory of Dutch letters of the first half of the century. Bredero, Heinsius, Barloes, Vondel, Constantijn Huygens, and Hooft being merely the most eminent. Huygens never got over her rejection of his proposal of marriage, and when she converted to Catholicism, he didn't hesitate to convey his resentment in words. So it wasn't all sweetness and light at Castle Moder, but the meetings of the Moderkring shed a little light on the musical life of the Dutch Golden Age and helped to give us a context for all those wonderful 17th century paintings with titles like Interior with Musicians. Let's end with a dance from the collection Tautnemend Kubinet, published in Amsterdam in 1646 in the final decade of Hooft's stay in Castle Moder. You can imagine Maria being whirled around to this at the last ever meeting of the Moderkring.
Nobleman Dansen by Johann Schoop, played by members of Camerata Traiectina. And that ends the Early Music Show today. Today's programme was presented by Catherine Bott and it was produced by Sam Phillips.
Nicola Benedetti, playing the first violin concerto by Karol Szymanowski. It's coupled with another work from a resurgent 20th century Polish music scene, Karłowicz's heartfelt tone poem, Eternal Songs. And after the interval, a Prokofiev Symphony, the Fifth. City Hall's Glasgow plays host to Radio 3 live in concert Thursday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, back to today, and later this afternoon, Alet Jones will introduce highlights of the Choir of the Year Grand Final at the Royal Festival Hall in London. More than 5,000 singers took part in the rounds that led to that final, members of some 138 choral groups, rounds that took place up and down the UK. Well, that great number was whittled down to just six groups, including those who'd won four categories, children, youth, adult and open, and there were also two wildcard entries in the final. Well, you can hear who won and, indeed, some splendid singing from all concerned in the choir at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And that's preceded by some typically splendid singing from the choir of Westminster Cathedral. That's the venue for this afternoon's Choral Evensong, which begins at 4 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3. But now it's time for this week's Sunday Concert, which was recorded just over a week ago in Wales. It's introduced by Nicola Heywood-Thomas.
Welcome to St David's Hall in the very centre of Cardiff, where the audience is making its way in for a feast of romantic music that spans the 19th and early 20th centuries. This hall opened almost exactly 30 years ago, and as Wales's national concert hall, It's the natural home for the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, the orchestra in residence here. St David's Hall is the venue for rock, pop and jazz concerts, stand-up comedy and university graduations. And it also hosts the BBC Cardiff Singer of the World competition every couple of years. And there's singing in today's concert. Elizabeth Atherton and Roman Trakel join a huge orchestra for Zemlinsky's rarely performed Lyric Symphony. The German violinist Vivian Hagner is the soloist in the concerto by Zemlinsky's teacher Brahms. But first, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, with principal guest conductor Jacques Van Steen, play the magical prelude to Act One of Lohengrin by Wagner.